Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Hello, my name is Steve, and I'm a salmon. Yeah, a fish. But I'm not one of those common salmon you've probably met before, like a Pacific or an Alaska salmon. I'm special. I'm actually an Idaho salmon. And you know, a couple years ago, I think it was that long? You know, I'm a fish, so I'm not really good with time. I left home and ended up in the Pacific Ocean. You know, I went on a fishing trip, get it? But now, I'm trying to get back home to Idaho. And you would think, Steve, you're a fish, why don't you just swim there? Well, let me tell you. For a while now, getting home through the Snake River has been kind of nuts.
So there have been long-running problems relating to the dams of the Pacific Northwest. You know, this is a massive hydropower system that was built beginning in the 1930s. And really aimed to power an entire region based on the power of these enormous raging rivers.
A million years of evolution and a decade of human skill and planning have forged the swift waters of the Columbia into one great tool.
And was very successful. You know, the power created by this system fueled a lot of the efforts to build ships and airplanes that were crucial for World War II.
Bonneville Dam, built and owned by the people of the United States, wrests precious kilowatts from falling waters for 100 high-speed weapons.
So they were very successful in building out the system.
400 miles upstream, Grand Coulee, biggest dam ever built, swelled the supply of power needed to turn the wheels of war.
But that success had a downside as well, and that is the impact on the really special fisheries of the region, particularly salmon and steelhead.
Remember me?
Over the years, as the Endangered Species Act and other environmental laws have come online, they've upgraded a lot of these dams to try and help the fish move through. But it just simply hasn't been enough, particularly for Idaho salmon, which along the Snake River have to pass through 8 dams to make it back to their historic reaches. So these fish are really on the brink of extinction. They've been listed under the Endangered Species Act since the 1990s. Only 1 in 100 are making their way back to their spawning grounds, and that is less than the rate of replacement. And so there's a very real fear that they're about to go extinct if something significant doesn't get done soon.
This is Politico Energy, and I'm Steve the Salmon. Today, Politico humans Annie Snyder and Anthony Adragna on the unlikely ally trying to save my kind and end an environmental crisis in the Pacific Northwest. It's Thursday, February 10th.
So enter Mike Simpson, a senior appropriator, well-known on energy issues, and he's come up with a different approach. What is his idea for how to address this problem?
Yeah, so this is a problem that he announced about 3 years ago that he was going to take on. And he started from a standpoint of wanting to believe that the dams and the salmon could coexist.
Salmon runs in Idaho have been declining for the last 30 years. All 4 of the runs in Idaho are either threatened or endangered. And we don't have the numbers that are coming back to Idaho that we used to have.
As I described, this region has a very strong history with hydropower and a very strong pride around it. And it is a very contentious thing. And to be sure, the plight of the salmon does not hinge solely on the dams. The ocean conditions are not good for them. In fact, that's probably the biggest factor, especially when you layer climate change on. But the conclusion that Simpson came to was that the dams are the only thing that man can control.
Remove the dams to save the salmon. That's the $33 billion proposal from Congress. Congressman Mike Simpson.
And if we're going to have a shot at saving these species, he came to the conclusion that the only way we're going to be able to do this is if you take out these dams.
Simpson is calling for the removal of 4 hydroelectric dams on the Lower Snake River over the next decade.
Research shows that salmon that don't have to go through as many dams elsewhere on the river don't face the same challenges, don't have as dire of numbers. And so the conclusion was these last 4 dams on the Snake River that were the last to be built out on the system do need to come out if we're going to have a shot at saving the salmon.
This proposal, which came out over the weekend, was greeted with cheers from environmental groups, which is not something we see every day for a conservative Republican proposal. What did some of them say?
Oh, yeah. The conservation community is behind this 100% and is actually willing to make some pretty big concessions as part of it.
Simpson's plan has support from organizations like the Idaho Conservation League.
This is a very comprehensive proposal that is for all of the people of the Northwest, not just any one interest group.
I think the bigger question is where others are going to fall. And the way that Simpson approached this was really unique. So rather than just saying we need to take out these dams, what he did is say, start from a standpoint of believing that these dams are very valuable. And so if what we're saying is that they need to be removed for the sake of the salmon, then we need to really very seriously look at how to compensate and make up for those benefits. So it's a very comprehensive proposal. It's $33.5 billion proposal that includes money not simply for taking out the dams, but also for replacing the power that they produce, but also funding to enable irrigators to move their irrigation equipment, investments in river restoration, investments in tourism. And that's the thing that I think has a lot of folks excited. Not simply because of the sort of focus on salmon, but also because of the idea that this sort of comprehensive approach could provide a model for, say, Appalachian coal communities that need to transition to a low carbon future. And there's a feeling that this holistic approach could provide a model.
What has the reaction been like from Congressman Simpson's fellow Republicans? And who are you watching for next in terms of gauging this proposal's chances of success?
Yeah. So to be clear, what Simpson put out is right now just a framework. It's a concept. He's very careful to say there is no legislation. There's not even draft legislation. What we're hoping to do here is launch a conversation. And there's excitement about the possibility that if that conversation can bring fruit, that they would be in a good position to move it forward. The key folks are going to be on the Senate side. I think we need to see where Idaho's two Republican senators come down on this issue. And then, you know, what we haven't talked about yet is the overarching politics around dam removal that have existed for a long time on Capitol Hill, particularly among House Republicans. Now, the fact that Republicans are in the minority in the House aids the chances. But to be sure, there are vocal opponents so far, including Kathy McMorris Rogers, the top Republican on the Energy and Commerce Committee, whose district includes some of these dams that are being targeted for removal.
Also, a lawsuit seeking sweeping federal action on climate change got its second strike in the court system. Yesterday, a federal appeals court in California upheld last year's dismissal of a suit brought by a group of children and young adults. In the lawsuit, the groups argued that the threat of climate change and the government's role in promoting fossil fuels were enough to force federal climate action. But last year, the majority in a panel reluctantly ruled that the matter is a political question and that it takes the action from the other branches of government to act, not the courts. Yesterday, the appeals court overwhelmingly agreed with that ruling, except for four judges who recused themselves from the case, leaving the Supreme Court as the group's only hope on this case, where a 6-3 conservative majority is extremely unlikely to side with them. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find our show. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your daily fix on the Biden administration, Congress, and power in 2021, subscribe to Politico Playbook, the unofficial guide to official Washington, at politico.com/playbook. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.